Right, so we've got a lot to unpack here, this shooting of Brian Thompson.
Yeah, a lot of information to go through, news articles, video transcripts, even some breaking news alerts coming in.
It's like we're putting together a puzzle as the pieces keep coming in.
Exactly, and it's a puzzle where the pieces point to a very calculated attack, not just random violence, you know?
Not just some random act.
And what's really fascinating to me is how quickly the police were able to determine that this was targeted.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things that stood out to me, too. It seemed like almost immediately they were saying, this doesn't seem random.
Yeah, they didn't hesitate at all.
So what gives them that confidence so early on?
Well, I think we have to look at the evidence they were gathering, you know?
Yeah.
And we'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll definitely dig into that. But first, maybe let's set the stage for our listeners who might not be as familiar with this case. Can you give us a quick rundown on Brian Thompson? Like, who was he and where did this all happen?
Sure. So Brian Thompson, he was 50 years old, the CEO of United Healthcare.
Okay, so big player in the insurance world.
Huge, absolutely. And he was in New York City for an investor conference.
Okay.
And the shooting took place right outside the Hilton Hotel in Midtown Manhattan.
Wow. So right in the heart of the city.
Yeah. Picture this. 6:45 in the morning. People are rushing to work. The city's waking up. And suddenly this targeted attack happens.
Crazy. And it's Midtown. Like, that's not some back alley. This is a very public.
Busy area.
Yeah. Busy, very public area.
Yeah.
So walk us through what we know about how the attack actually played out. Like, what happened?
Well, from what we've gathered, the gunman seems to have been waiting for Thompson.
Oh.
Like, he didn't engage with anyone else, just focused completely on Thompson.
Wow.
Shot him multiple times, and it was at least once in the back, once in the calf, which really suggests a very specific intent.
Yeah, like not just a warning shot or something like that.
Right, exactly. And then he flees the scene. And that's actually a very interesting part of this.
Okay, what stands out to you about how he got away?
It's the combination of how he did it. First, he fled on foot, probably blended into the crowd, right? Makes sense. Then he was seen on an e-bike.
Okay.
Which you have to think he stashed somewhere nearby beforehand. So that level of planning, that says something.
Yeah, like he had a plan and knew the area well enough to know where to stash the bike and how to get away.
Right. It suggests premeditation.
Yeah.
And knowledge of the city layout.
Absolutely. So what do we know about this guy? Any description from witnesses?
The police have released a description based on what witnesses have said and the footage they've gathered.
Okay.
He's described as a light-skinned male wearing a light brown or cream-colored jacket, a black face mask, black and white sneakers, and a pretty distinctive gray backpack.
Okay, so in a city of millions,
mm-hmm.
those details alone might not be that helpful.
Mm.
But that backpack, you know, if it's unique, that could be a big clue.
Yeah, it could be key.
Yeah.
You know, in a sea of faces and winter coats, that backpack could be what someone remembers.
Definitely. So what about the police investigation? What are they doing to track this guy down?
Well, it seems like they're really pulling out all the stops.
Okay.
They've been incredibly transparent about their belief that this was a targeted hit and that they're putting a lot of resources into this investigation. They've been interviewing witnesses, obviously analyzing tons of surveillance footage, and they're even going through Thompson's hotel room for clues.
I mean, I guess that's standard procedure, but it makes you wonder what they're hoping to find, right?
Absolutely. And get this, they actually found a cell phone in an alley nearby that they're analyzing.
A cell phone? Wow, that could be huge. I mean, if it's connected to the gunman.
Right. That's a gold mine of information, potentially.
So they're probably using all their high-tech tools, too, right?
Yeah.
Like drones and all that stuff to try to find this guy.
Oh, absolutely. Drones are going to be particularly useful in a place like Central Park, where the suspect was last seen. I mean, it's huge, but drones can cover a lot of ground quickly.
Yeah.
And they give you that unique aerial view.
Right. And I read they're also offering a $10,000 reward for information leading to an arrest.
Yep.
Hopefully someone comes forward with something useful.
Yeah. Money talks. Sometimes that's all it takes.
Sometimes it does. But what I find really chilling is just the precision of the attack itself. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
It definitely points to premeditation. This wasn't just some random act of aggression.
Mm-hmm.
The gunman waited for Thompson, ignored other potential targets, and those shots, particularly the one to the back, they weren't random.
Yeah, no doubt about that. It was meant to do some damage.
They were aimed to incapacitate or even kill.
Yeah, it wasn't a warning shot at all. It really makes you wonder who could have wanted Brian Thompson dead and why.
Exactly. And that's what we need to figure out.
We'll dig into that right after this quick break.
Yeah, that's the question, isn't it? The motive, it's like a big hole in the middle of this whole thing.
Right. And it makes it even creepier in a way because we don't know why.
Exactly. And the more we look at the evidence, the location, the timing, the way it was carried out, it just screams premeditation, planned and deliberate.
Right. This was not some crime of passion or a random act of violence.
No, not at all.
So then who had a motive to want Brian Thompson dead? I mean, was it something to do with his work? He was the CEO of a major insurance company. Like, there's got to be people he crossed paths with who weren't happy.
Right. You have to think about that. You're talking about an industry where billions of dollars are at stake. I mean, healthcare insurance, there's fierce competition, high pressure deals, and maybe even people who would directly benefit if Thompson was gone.
So we're talking professional rivals, disgruntled employees, maybe even something more sinister. This is starting to sound like a movie plot.
It kind of does, doesn't it? But let's not get too carried away with the speculation here. Let's stick to the facts for now.
Right. Okay.
And one thing the police have been doing is highlighting certain details about the gunman. Like they keep mentioning that gray backpack.
Right. What do you make of that? Do you think they're hoping someone will recognize it?
I think that's a big part of it. They're probably going through hours of surveillance footage looking for anyone matching the description. And that backpack, if it's unusual enough, could be what helps them identify him.
Yeah, makes sense. And with that $10,000 reward out there, maybe it'll be enough to convince someone to come forward.
Yeah, you never know. Someone might have seen something that seemed insignificant at the time, but now.
Right. Now it's worth $10,000.
Exactly. But you know, it's amazing how a detail like that backpack can become so crucial in a case like this. It can be the thread that unravels the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely. But what about the bigger picture? What kind of challenges do you think the police are facing with this investigation?
Well, I mean, just the fact that it happened in Midtown Manhattan during rush hour, that's both good and bad.
How so?
Well, yeah, on one hand, you have a ton of potential witnesses, right? Lots of people around.
Right.
But on the other hand, it's chaos. People everywhere moving in all directions makes it really hard to track someone down.
Yeah, like trying to find a specific fish in a crowded aquarium.
That's a great analogy. Yeah. And then you add in the fact that he was last seen in Central Park. I mean, that place is enormous. So even with all the technology, they have drones and all that, it's still a tough task.
Right. It's not like he's trapped in a building or
No,
something.
exactly.
So we've got a mystery motive,
Yeah.
a gunman who's basically vanished, and a city that can swallow you whole if you know what you're doing. This is starting to feel like one of those unsolved mysteries that keep people up at night.
It does have that element to it for sure. And here's another thing to consider, that gun malfunction we talked about.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. What if that wasn't an accident?
Exactly. What if it was intentional?
Okay, so you're thinking like a way to throw off the investigation. Make it seem like the gunman was an amateur.
Precisely.
Right.
If you're a professional hitman and you want to create confusion, you might use a weapon that's likely to jam. It throws the police off, makes them underestimate you.
That's a creepy thought. So we could be dealing with someone who's not only skilled, but also incredibly calculated.
It's definitely possible, and I'm sure the police are considering that as they analyze the evidence.
Right. So then the question becomes, who is this guy? What kind of training or experience would he need to pull this off?
Yeah, was he ex-military? Part of some shadowy organization? It's easy to go down the rabbit hole with those kinds of questions.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
My imagination's already running wild with all sorts of scenarios.
I get it. It's fascinating, but for now, let's stick to what we know for sure. The police are actively investigating. They're using everything they've got to find this guy, and they seem determined to bring him to justice.
Which is reassuring, I guess. But it doesn't change the fact that someone was gunned down in broad daylight, and whoever did it is still out there.
Yeah.
That has to be weighing on people, especially with the holidays coming up.
Absolutely. It creates a sense of unease, a reminder that even in a city like New York, with all its security, something like this can still happen. And it leaves us all wondering, could it happen again?
And what about Thompson's family? I mean, I can't imagine what they're going through, especially with the motive still unknown. That lack of closure has got to be just awful.
Oh, absolutely. They're dealing with unimaginable grief and anger, and the fact that they don't know why just adds another layer of pain to it all, you know? The investigation is ongoing, but until they find whoever did this and understand why, there's always going to be that sense of injustice.
Like a wound that can't fully heal.
Yeah, exactly.
So we've talked a lot about what we don't know, but we are starting to get a clearer picture of the police investigation itself.
Yeah.
What kind of strategies do you think they're using to track down this gunman?
Well, we've already mentioned the drones in Central Park and the analysis of that cell phone. But beyond the technology, I think they're also relying heavily on good old-fashioned detective work, you know, witness interviews, door-to-door canvassing, and really meticulous forensic analysis of the crime scene.
So it's a mix of old-school and new-school techniques.
Exactly. They're trying to build a timeline of events, retrace the gunman's steps, and see if there's any connection to Thompson that we haven't uncovered yet. You know, they haven't ruled anything out.
It's like putting together a giant jigsaw puzzle with pieces scattered all over the city.
That's a great way to put it. And until they find that missing piece, the motive, the picture's incomplete.
Right. But every piece they do find, every witness they talk to, brings them a little closer to understanding who this gunman is and why he targeted Brian Thompson.
Exactly. It's slow and meticulous work, but they're making progress.
So even though there are still a lot of unanswered questions, it does sound like the investigation is moving forward, like the wheels of justice are turning.
That's definitely the hope. And as more information comes out, we'll be here to break it down for you, separate fact from fiction, and help you make sense of it all.
Yeah, it's like we're all detectives in a way, trying to piece together the clues and figure out what happened. But I think this case goes beyond just solving a crime.
I agree. There are bigger questions here about safety and security and the fact that even people in powerful positions can be vulnerable. And it forces us to think about the reality that even in a city like New York, darkness can find a way in.
It's a sobering thought, for sure. And one that I'm sure is on the minds of a lot of users right now.
I would imagine so. But even with the uncertainty and the fear, there's also a glimmer of hope in all of this. The dedication of the police, the resilience of the city, and the pursuit of justice that brings us together in times of tragedy.
It's a reminder that even in the darkest of times, humanity's capacity for compassion and courage and the search for truth, those things can still shine through. We've talked a lot about the motive being this big unknown, but the police seem so certain that Thompson was targeted. What makes them so sure?
It's a few things, really. I mean, the fact that the gunman seemed to be waiting for Thompson specifically, he ignored everyone else that right there tells you there was premeditation. He wasn't just looking for some random victim.
Right. He had a specific person in mind.
Exactly. And the shots themselves, especially that one to the back, I mean, come on. Those weren't random acts of violence at all.
No, definitely not.
They were precise and clearly aimed at taking Thompson down, whether to incapacitate him or kill him. This wasn't a robbery gone wrong or some argument that got out of hand. This was planned.
Yeah, this was an execution, plain and simple. And, you know, it makes me think about the timing of it all. It happened just hours before that big tree lighting ceremony at Rockefeller Center. Could that be significant?
I think it's definitely worth considering. I mean, to choose a time when there would be so much security around so many police, that could be a way to create confusion and make a getaway easier.
Yeah, or maybe it was meant to send a message. You know, like a public display of power. It's like something out of a movie.
It does have that cinematic quality to it, doesn't it? But let's not forget about that gun malfunction we talked about. Some people might see that as a sign that this guy was an amateur.
Right.
But what if it was deliberate?
Deliberate, like on purpose.
Exactly. What if he did it to mislead the investigators?
Okay, I'm listening.
Think about it. If you're a professional hitman and you want to throw the police off your trail, you might intentionally use a gun, you know, that's likely to jam.
It's like a false clue.
Exactly. It creates confusion, makes them question your skill level, and maybe even leads them down the wrong path.
That's a scary thought.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, it would explain why the police are being so tight-lipped about the details. They don't want to give anything away if they're dealing with someone that clever.
Right. And it makes you wonder just how much planning went into this, how many resources were involved. Was this a solo operation or was he part of something bigger?
It's like we're peeling back the layers of an onion here. And with each layer, the case gets more and more complex. What other parts of the investigation stand out to you?
I'm really curious about Thompson's security detail. Did he usually have bodyguards? Why wasn't he protected on this trip?
That's a good point. You'd think someone in his position, the high-profile CEO, would have some kind of protection, especially in a city like New York.
You would think so, wouldn't you? So was there some kind of lapse in security? Did he tell his team to stay home? Or was he deliberately left vulnerable? I mean, those are all questions the police have to be asking.
It's like a puzzle with some key pieces missing. And until we find those pieces, we can't see the whole picture. What kind of challenges do you think the police are up against trying to catch this guy?
Well, besides the obvious, you know, trying to investigate a crime scene in a busy city like Manhattan, the fact that he was last seen in Central Park, that adds another layer of difficulty. It's massive. It's full of places to hide. And even with all the technology, the drones, the cameras, it's still a needle in a haystack situation.
Yeah, and he went from running away on foot to hopping on an e-bike.
Yeah.
That tells me he had an escape route all planned out.
Exactly. It points to premeditation again. This wasn't some spur-of-the-moment thing. It was carefully orchestrated.
It's a scary thought, and we're left with more questions than answers. But even with all the uncertainty and fear, I do sense a feeling of determination. You know, the police aren't giving up, the city is tough, and people want justice.
I agree. This case has really captured everyone's attention, and we all want to know what happened. And even though we don't have all the pieces of the puzzle, yet we're getting closer with each new development.
Well, this deep dive has been fascinating. It's a little unsettling. It's a really in-depth look at a crime that has shaken New York City to its core.
It has been. We've gone from a shocking headline to a really complicated investigation with so many layers of intrigue. And while we wait for the truth to come out, it really makes you think about how vulnerable we all are, even in places that seem safe.
Yeah, no matter who you are or where you are, there's always a chance that something bad could happen. And that's a tough pill to swallow.
It is. But it's also a reminder that even in the face of tragedy, we can find strength in our resilience, in our pursuit of justice, and in our belief that the truth will come out.
Well said. Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into this case that's still unfolding. As always, stay curious, stay informed, and stay safe.